Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Arun Gupta, journalist and a regular contributor to The Guardian in these times, The Progressive and Truth Out. Hi, Arun.
Hi, Sonali.
Undeterred by a Senate defeat on the Trans-Pacific Partnership fast-track bill, the Republican Party and White House strategized to send the trade bill authorization back to the House to start over. The House voted on a fast-track bill without added assistance for U.S. workers in a vote of 218 to 208. Right-wing Representative Paul Ryan explained the vote in this way, quote, "This is a vote for American leadership. This is a vote to declare that America still has it. This is a vote to reestablish America's credibility. The world is watching." There has been widespread opposition among those in the U.S. public who actually know what the TPP is, as well as a good portion of the Democratic Party. Well, Arun, what do you make of Paul Ryan's statement? And also, could this version of the bill pass the Senate?
Well, in terms of his statement, you know, few people actually know what it is. These deals are kept secret, so that's not really that honest in the first place. And in terms of could this deal pass, yes, and that's the problem. You know, they in terms of the corporations and their allies in the political process will keep coming back again and again and again and again to try to pass this bill because it means so much to them, so much in terms of profit accumulation. So it's not a done deal that this is stalled.
And then the international human rights organization Amnesty International has just released a new report on policing in the United States. It's called Deadly Force: Police Use of Lethal Force in the U.S. The group examined law enforcement in all 50 states and concluded that, quote, "The United States has failed to respect and protect the right of life, the right to life, by failing to ensure that domestic legislation meets international human rights law and standards on the use of lethal force by law enforcement officers." Additionally, the report stated that, quote, "The limited information available suggests that African-American men are disproportionately impacted by police use of lethal force," and added many African-American women have also lost their lives to police violence. Arun, how useful is such a report, particularly as it measures the U.S. to international standards?
These reports are important insofar as the constant drumbeat in terms of revelations that have come out since Ferguson last year. You know, to really say that the U.S. police are out of control systematically, it's not a question of a few rotten apples. The whole barrel is rotten. Whether or not, though, it forces any change, that really depends on building a powerful movement, because the police are so resistant to change, and the police exist essentially to protect the wealthy. But the fact that, you know, Amnesty International says every single one of the 50 states fails by this international standard, I think that's both eye-opening and appalling at the same time.
And finally, the United Nations has issued a dire warning about North Korea's years-long drought. Food production in the country has fallen by half, as media described the drought as, quote, the worst in 100 years. An earlier report found that there are now 10.5 million hungry people in North Korea. That's more than twice the number in 1990. North Korea has been highly isolated internationally by Western countries and their allies. And a dictatorial regime has reportedly not kept up agricultural infrastructure, which has in turn exacerbated the problem. Of course, climate change has also likely worsened the severity of the drought, but few reports have raised that issue. So, Arun, who is responsible for North Korea's situation? I mean, at least other poor nations that have trouble adapting to climate change have some sort of global relations that can provide aid. Are North Koreans simply going to starve?
Well, unfortunately, it may look that way, which is what happened in the early 90s. Certainly, the West, especially the U.S., bear a lot of responsibility. The U.S. and North Korea has still not signed a formal peace treaty from when the Korean War ended more than 60 years ago. No doubt that the North Korean regime is extremely cruel and dictatorial, but the U.S. prevents all sorts of basic aid from getting there, and a lot of it has to do with kind of long-term economic mismanagement by the North Korean leaders. A few people remember that up until the 1970s, North Korea was actually considered a development model for the third world, but that's when its infrastructure started to deteriorate across the board.
And of course, yesterday, the encyclical presented by Pope Francis on the issue of climate change has also added to the discussion around climate change as a whole. Well, Arun, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Arun Gupta sitting in for Christina Mislan. He's a journalist and a regular contributor to The Guardian, In These Times, The Progressive, and Truth Out. On today's show, after this break, we'll go live to Charleston, South Carolina, where our other Daily Newsflash guest expert, Chenjerai Kumanyika, is. And he drove there yesterday evening. He's normally based in South Carolina at Clemson University, but he'll be joining us live from Charleston. We'll also speak with Ajamu Baraka to discuss the latest on the church massacre in Charleston. Stay tuned.